The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, this may be a little bit untimely of a message. Anybody know there's a significant event that happened this summer in our nation? Oh, right. We've celebrated 250 years. Yeah, I was talking about the World Cup. I don't know if y'all knew that happened or not, too. Sorry, it was a little bit of a joke. Yes, 250th was a big celebration. But the World Cup at our house was a big deal. Nora has started playing soccer, and she really enjoys it. And so we've got a soccer family in Florida. I have four nephews that, man, soccer is life for them. Football is life for them, if you go with the European model. But they love it, and so Nora's gotten into it, and so we got into it this year with the World Cup, and man, we poured into it. We watched teams that I didn't even know were countries play soccer and cheered for them, and Kelsey found an underdog story that we followed, and we cheered for them, and man, we just got into World Cup. And one of the things that I love about World Cup and soccer in general, this comes from a guy who used to play soccer. I love the term united. Like, if you don't know, a lot of soccer clubs, soccer teams, they have the it's wherever their city is united. Like Miami United or Manchester United is probably the most famous one out there. And I love the idea of united because it's a team, but it's so much more than just a team. A team, everybody has a team, but now, and man, if you're like me, I get sick of watching like too many sports because there's no team mentality anymore. And I'm not going to get off into that because that's a whole different sermon for a whole different time that talks about college football and how NIL has ruined college football. But I'm not going to talk about that today because we're not to college football yet. But the idea, the mentality of a team is kind of getting lost. Now players are going where people pay the most. And it's not so much a loyalty to a team or sticking it through to the end of the season. It's wherever I can make the most. But there's something when you have this idea of being united, it's more than a team. You're united for the entire season. From start to finish, you want to see this through to the championship game. You are united in a cause and a purpose and a mission. And it got me thinking, as I thought about that, of Mooringsport Baptist Church United. Man, what are we? Every once in a while, it's good to take stock of our church and say, hey guys, where are we as a church? Now, I've been joking around and telling you that this is the best kept secret in all of Caddo Parish. It's gotten out. That's not entirely true. I know some of you guys talk about how crazy your pastor is at work on Monday, and I'm all right with that. But here's the thing. Every once in a while, it's good to be refocused, to be united in a mission going forward. And so as I started thinking about that, and it was funny, I told our Sunday school department, the group that was there, God had planned. When we started talking about doing Sunday School Reimagined, I knew the fourth week we were going to talk about this, and it was going to be about fellowship, and that was what we were going to talk about. But it was funny how that worked out there, and then in here we started talking about being united and what that means. Our passage for today is Ephesians chapter 4, a familiar passage you've probably read if you've been around church at all, any given amount of time. You've probably read or heard parts of this passage. This morning, we're going to start out just by reading this passage, and then we're going to look at different things that unite us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 say this. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one God, one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has appointed it. This morning, I want to look at all the different things that unite us and how as a church and how as a fellowship, we are united. That was a new term to me, and I don't know if it's a Louisiana thing or if it's a Michael Moore thing, but I love it. We celebrated Meet John Pro's Day the other day. For those of you who don't know, every year Michael sends me a text message. Hey, it was Meet John Pro's Day, and it was the day he called me. I thought it was the guy that makes film documentaries, and so I was really excited to talk to him. but it was Michael Moore. And we talked on the phone that day, and that's where God kind of started this process of calling our family here. And so as we looked at that, as we celebrated that the other day, it was interesting, the phrase he kept using in that phone call, and that first, I'll never forget that first phone conversation I had with him. He didn't call you guys a church. He didn't call you a body. He called you a fellowship. And I love that phrase. I love that term. And it's something that has stuck with me, is this is more than a church. This is a fellowship. This is a body that's united in so many different ways. And so what I want to encourage you with, and I want to challenge you with today, is this. How are we united? And because this is how we're united, then this is our goal. This is our mission. This is what we're going to move into in our next phase as a church, as a fellowship. The very first way we're united is in verse number one. Paul doesn't take very much time getting there. We're united in our service. Notice what he refers to himself as, a prisoner. Now, who is Paul a prisoner of? Y'all are quiet this morning. Somebody didn't have enough coffee. All right. Paul is a prisoner in Rome. When he's writing this, he's in a Roman prison. Now, he got there because Jewish officials decided that they didn't like what he was trying to say, and so they tried to imprison him, and he pleaded to go to Rome. So that takes us there, but notice Paul's not a prisoner of the Jewish officials. Paul's not a prisoner of the Romans. Paul is a prisoner for the Lord. You are united in your service. Man, I've always thought it was interesting, people who are firefighters in the army, police officers, they have this unspoken bond about them, don't they? It's just there because of the service that they've been in. Now listen, I know they give each other a hard time. My brother used to be a firefighter and he always made fun of cops. I have cop friends who always made fun of firefighters. They go back and forth with each other. But there's this bond that even though the service is different, they are part of protecting our community. Even though the branches of the military pick at each other and one's this and one's that and one eats crayons and all those different things they say about each other, there is this difference of service, but there's a bond that unites them. You and I, as followers of Christ, are bound together in service. We're united in our service towards God. Now, that looks different. You have different jobs, you have different callings, you are different places that you serve. There are things that God would call you or that God wants you to do in service to him that would terrify me. I got a little nervous today, and he's not here so I can talk about him. I didn't see Rocky right away. I was like, man, let's give it a shot, guys. I don't know how this is going to go, but I can do this. He's not here. Yeah, it's not good. All right. The whole point of that is this. My service is not there. I would do a disservice if I got up and I tried to do that. But are Rocky and I united in our service? Yeah, man, we absolutely are. Every day I love to get a text from him that tells him me the order of worship, the songs we're singing, because I know that that's a part. Man, you just missed my beautiful piano solo. Yeah. We're united in service together. Everything we do is meant to create an atmosphere and an environment for you to come into the presence of God and to walk out of this place differently because we're united in the mission and the service of drawing people closer to Christ. Paul, he starts out very early. He says, I'm a prisoner, but I'm not a prisoner of the Romans or the Jews. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. While our jobs may be different, our service and who we do our jobs for is the same. The second thing we're united in is this. We're united in our calling. He says at the end of verse number one that you would live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Our jobs may be different, but we all have the same reason behind our jobs. The calling for you as a follower of Christ is the same of everyone. As a follower of Christ, your calling is this. Draw people closer to Christ. Glorify God with your life. As a follower of Christ, that is your entire calling. Now again, how you do that, the service part of that works out differently, but the mission is the same for every follower of Christ. The calling is the same for every follower of Christ. Here's the scary part. The standard is the same for every follower of Christ. Now, how you go through and you do things may be different than how I do things, but our calling is the same. He says there that you would live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. You know what that means? We all have the same standard, Christ Himself. We're all going to fall short. We're all going to mess up. But it doesn't change the calling that you have in your life. Your calling as a follower of Christ is to glorify God with your entire life. Every aspect, every part of it. You mean even when the person cuts me off? Yeah, even when the person cuts you off. You mean even when my boss is being a jerk? Yeah, even when your boss is being a jerk. Even when my employees are really, 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 really not smart? Yeah, even when your employees are really, really, really not smart that day. Your calling in every aspect of your life is to glorify God. And here's the cool thing. We're united in that. Even though I don't work in the same job you do, my calling is the same as yours. Even though my household looks different than yours, our callings are the same. Our calling is in every area, every arena, every platform that God has given us to glorify Him. He goes a little bit further and he tells you not only is your service the same, we're united in our service, we're united in our calling. He tells you that we're also united in our character. Verses 2 through 3, he says, be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity in the Spirit through a bond of peace. Our jobs are different. Our motivation is the same, and the calling is the same. But we therefore, we should all display the same characteristics in our life. You ever, I can say that. Never mind. You ever just meet people who are not gentle people? You know what I mean? My grandfather was one of those not gentle guys. Like, I watched him jump off a tractor, put his boot on a rattlesnake's head, and then pull and skin the snake. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how he did it to this day. For one, to jump and land on this rattlesnake was amazing. But he was just not a very gentle person. But it was funny, as he got older, he got a lot more gentle. He went from being this rough, could like tackle cows guy to like holding grandbabies and great-grandbabies and putting them on his shoulders and walking through a parking lot together. And I watched this rough guy become very gentle in his demeanor, but I also have been doing something else. I found his old Bibles in my office, and I've been reading through the same reading plans that he went through when he read through the Bible years ago. And I'm convinced that this is that as my grandfather got older, the gentleness didn't come because of his age. The gentleness came because of his walk with Christ got stronger. Miles, go back to that slide, I think. We're called to be humble. We're supposed to display characteristics of humility, of kindness, of enduring, of loving. We're called to be unified in our walk with Christ. Can I tell you, these aren't suggestions. These aren't a list that you get to pick and choose from. These are characteristics that every follower of Christ is supposed to display. Paul doesn't say, hey, listen, to the one who is gifted with humility, he should be humble. That comes later. To the one who's gifted with kindness, they should be kind. The one who's gifted with the ability to be long-suffering, to endure with people, they should be enduring. He says all followers of Christ should meet this list. We should have this character for every single one of us. I understand you're not a very patient person. Me neither. God doesn't ask you, are you this? He tells you this is who you need to be. God doesn't ask you, hey, listen, are you naturally gentle? He tells you this is who you need to be. He doesn't ask you if you're kind. He tells you you need to be kind. No, none of us are naturally like that. That's because we were born with a sinful flesh and the desires of our heart ruled in our life. But now, as followers of Christ, our character must be transformed through Him. These are not suggestions, and this should be characteristics of not just elements of our church, of our fellowship. This should be characteristics of our entire church. Just, I want him to leave that screen up there for a second, because I want you to look at that screen. See, I can pick people out who are kind. I can pick people out who are humble. You don't know this, but when you sit in the same seat every week, it makes it really easy for me. Because as I'm thinking of these things, I'm like, yeah, they sit right there. If I'm ever wondering how a sermon's doing, I know who I can look at, and they're always going to be smiling. I know who not to look at, because they're always going to be asleep. And so, like, you sitting in the same seat actually does a great service to me. But we can think about those things, and as we look at this list, we can pick out those individuals who we know exemplify that character, don't we? But here's the thing. Christ calls us to be united in these characteristics, meaning every single one of us should have these characteristics as part of our life. Whether they come naturally or not, the characteristics are still supposed to be there. So we're supposed to be united in our service, we're supposed to be united in our calling, and we're supposed to be united in our character. How are we united? He goes on to tell us in verse 4. He starts out by saying there's one body. One body means this. We function with one purpose. What is the overall goal of my body? Keep me alive, right? Make sure I wake up tomorrow. Every part of my body has that job. Keep me safe. Keep me healthy. That's the function of this. Now, it all plays out different ways. My feet do that by helping me not to fall. My brain does that by telling me when I'm supposed to do things and when I'm not supposed to do things. My heart does it by pumping blood. My lungs do it by breathing in oxygen. But the goal and the purpose of my body is to keep me alive. You are part of one body. What that means is that as the body of Christ, you have one job. That's why we're united. It's because we are all working together for one job. We are now the body of Christ to keep Christ's work and mission alive on this earth. That's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. It means that your job is to keep the mission of Christ ongoing. Many different people, but we all have one purpose, to keep the body of Christ healthy, safe, and thriving. Not only are we one body, but we're also one spirit. It means we're inspired and led by the same Holy Spirit in verse number 4. Not that there won't be disagreement, but if we are united in Christ, the Holy Spirit that is at work with you is also at work within me. Some of you will be inspired to do things that I could never imagine, but guess what? That's the value, that's the joy of being a part of this. When in our Sunday school hour again, we talked about this morning. Man, sometimes, and I forget who it was, Mr. John Schlett had a great insight into a fig tree. And I see that you guys sat in different spots. Mike said, man, that's the joy of coming together like this. Because I get his insight that I don't understand about fig trees. But coming together like this, now I understand more about fig trees, and now I understand more what that verse means. You know what that is? That's one spirit working in the lives of two individual church members to help them grow in their walk with Christ. We all have the same Holy Spirit living, working inside of us. There's not the idea that some people are more filled with the Holy Spirit than other people is not true. We're all given the same amount of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells us and lives in us and works within our hearts and our lives. The only difference is the willingness of the individual to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. You know the crazy thing? My Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit that is at work within me is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is that works in my life. The problem is, I don't let it do that all the time. I try to say, no, let's slow down a little bit. That's a little crazy there, Holy Spirit. You got me doing things that I don't know that I should necessarily do. All of a sudden, people are going to think I'm really weird. And so I'm the one who determines how much the Holy Spirit works in my life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in every single one of us. It's at work to imagine things that we never thought possible. It's at work to inspire us and encourage us to do things that we never dreamed we could do in and of ourselves. But it is the fact that we are all filled with the same Holy Spirit. It's not just one, not just one spirit, one body, but it's also one hope. The hope is salvation in Jesus Christ in verse number 4. I had this thought as I was thinking about this week. And I was actually, I forget, I was up one night, I was walking down the road and it was dark and the stars were kind of out and it was hot as blazes because that's where we are right now, is apparently in some kind of, never mind. It's hot. But I was walking, and as I was walking, I remember looking up at the stars, and I remember thinking about heaven for some reason. And I remember thinking about heaven, and I was like, man, what's going to be the best part about heaven? And I realized this. The best part of heaven for me is this, knowing that I absolutely do not deserve to be there whatsoever at all. Nothing, everything about me screams, this guy doesn't need to go to heaven. This guy is not worthy of eternal life. This guy is not fit to go to heaven. The very best part of heaven to me is knowing that even though that's who I am, I'm there because of everything he's forgiven me of. Man, and that's the hope. The hope of heaven, the hope of being in eternity is not I've been good enough, I've done enough, I've worked hard enough, I've given everything I have enough. My hope of heaven is everything I've ever done that should keep me out is what he nailed to himself on the cross when he forgave all my sins and said, hey, listen, now you get to experience this. That's the hope that unites every single one of us. Look, your heaven is no different from my heaven. There's no layers to heaven. There's no divisions of heaven. There's not a bad part of heaven. I don't know why they need gates. But there's no bad parts of heaven. Everything is glorious because you shouldn't be there. But you are because of what Christ did. And that's the hope that should unite every single one of us, is the same hope that Christ has forgiven all of our sins and offers us eternal life. So we have one power, or one body, one spirit, one hope. We also have one Lord. We have one Lord means that we have surrendered to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. We are all under the same obligation, the same commitment. We are all held to the same standard and accountable to the same Lord. Not to jump back to last week, one Lord. Not one teacher, not one philosopher, one Lord. If you are part of this, if you are part of this thing called the body of Christ, you have given your lordship, you have surrendered your authority, you have surrendered to the sovereignty of God for your life. And here's the cool thing. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes I don't want to surrender to the sovereignty of God in my life. I want to do things my way. But we're all in the same boat together. Because sometimes you go through that same feeling, don't you? God, I don't want to surrender to you on this. I want to do this one my way. But one Lord unites us. We're all united with Jesus as our King. One Lord, we also have one faith. One faith means this: we are all saved and developed by the faith in Christ alone. We're all called by faith. It's not faith for one that works and for someone else something else. Every single one of us finds our faith or finds salvation through faith in Christ alone. Some of you may say, well, I'm a good Christian, they're a bad Christian. There's no good or bad Christians. There's Christians that are all saved through faith. Every single one of us has that same level of how we have a relationship with God. Not only does faith save each of us, faith is how we continue to grow in our walk with Christ. It would have been easy for God to say, hey, listen, faith's what gets you in the door, but once you get here, it's all on you. But that's not what he said. He says faith is what actually sustains you. It gets you through. It develops you. It grows you into the follower of Christ you need to be. And that same faith is available to all of us. He says we have one faith. He goes on, and not just one faith, he says one baptism. What's that mean? It means that everyone has the very first step of faith. Kenny Zahner was here last week when we baptized Joanne. And he said, man, I get so excited about baptisms. He said, because it makes me go back and replay in my mind where I was that first time when I went into those baptistry waters and I came up and how I felt. And isn't it cool that God would unite us under one baptism? means that every follower of Christ that's ever lived, the very first act of obedience and step of faith that they've taken is getting baptized. You say, well, man, I haven't gotten baptized yet. Okay, cool. Because guess what? Kenny's older. I don't know how old he is. I can make up an age. But Joanne's younger. It doesn't matter where you are. The same step is the same for everyone. And you're united in that because that's the thing, is that's the starting spot. Jesus wanted everybody to know, hey, listen, you come to me by faith and your very first step is baptism, which means that everyone is all on the same playing field. The question becomes, what do you do with your next step of faith? What do you do with your next step of faith? Baptism is not the end, but it's all the same first step. We have one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Finally, we have one God and Father. I love that Paul writes one God and Father. It's family. Somebody asked me this past week what our church is like. The best expression I could come up with is we're family. Our church is not just a fellowship, it's a family. And we all have the same dad who carefully, lovingly looks down at our life. It's the same God who created the universe. Look, I tell my kids this all the time. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Sammy and I were talking about how my kids take care of each other, and I'm so proud of them for doing that. But there's a phrase we have in our house. Friends come and go, but you always have your family. In our line of work, God calls us and moves us when God calls us and moves us. In the process of that, we've had to say goodbye to some really good friends. And it's been hard and it's been difficult and it's tough, but what we always have come back to is we always have our family. We'll always have our family. I want to broaden that a little bit today. You're our family. We'll always have you. You'll always have me. Sorry you're stuck with me. I'm stuck with you. We are united because we all have one Father who cares deeply for us and desires us to care about each other. Look, do families fight? Yeah. But it doesn't matter, you're family. Church, we are united with one Father as family. Don't miss verse 7, though. Verse 7 is unique and interesting in and of itself because verse 7 tells you this. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. We can be united. But if you decide you don't want to be united, that's an individual decision that you have to make. I can tell you, confidently, this fellowship, this family, Morningsport Baptist Church United, is a very remarkable, extremely special church. I've worked in a lot of churches. I've seen some good, I've seen some bad. I realized the other day I've been doing ministry for over half my life. I've had some rough business meetings. I've had some bad things go on in church. God has his hand of protection, blessing, and guidance on Morningsport Baptist Church. Now, some of you aren't united with us. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about uniting and saying, hey, listen, you know what? This is where I'm going to plug in. I'm going to serve. This is where I'm going to make my home. I'm going to become part of this family. This morning, my challenge, my encouragement for you is, look, God's doing some really good stuff. I encourage you, I challenge you, not just to come on Sunday morning. This is part of what goes on here. But man, Wednesday nights, we had over 100 people here on Wednesday night in different areas. Sunday morning during Sunday school, we've got people, we got classes all over this place that meet that are designed to help you grow and establish, strengthen the roots of your faith in Christ. Workshops, you know what those are for? Those are supposed to be for you to give you an opportunity to missionalize your community. With that fancy church term for reach out to other people and say, hey, listen, you want to come do this with me? Come learn how to cook gumbo. I want to know how to cook gumbo before I leave Louisiana. Maybe that's why Kelvin won't let me take his class. This is a remarkable place. And my encouragement and my challenge for you is to unite with this fellowship. To reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we all have that same mission to glorify God with our life. What a better place than to join with people who have that same mission, that are in the same area code, zip code, neighborhood that you are. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Father, I thank you for your words from Scripture. God, I pray that we are a united fellowship. God, there may be differences, there may be difficulties that we face in days to come. But Lord, we are united in our work and our calling to serve you. So God, I pray that today, maybe there's one who, Father, they don't even have a relationship with you. All this stuff we've been talking about and being united and part of the body of Christ is foreign to them, God, because they've never received the hope in the Holy Spirit through salvation. God, I pray that during this time now, they would come and they would share and they would talk with someone about how to have a relationship with Christ. God, I pray for the one who maybe, Lord, this is where they come on Sunday morning, but they're not united with us in fellowship and in mission. God, I pray that you would just give them, through the work of your Holy Spirit, a passion and a desire to plug in, to be involved in not just the service, but the work that you have for this church and this community. Father God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.